Welcome to another edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. Bubba, you and I, we're not going to hide our emotions at all. We're plum giddy, as they would say, where you and I grew up in small town America, because there's Babylon Bee fans and then there's us. We are rabid fans of Babylon Bee, and today we get to talk about one of their new projects with Joel Berry, who's the managing editor of the Babylon Bee. He has co-authored the latest work from the wonderful folks at Babylon Bee, and he is going to be telling us about the Babylon Bee Guide to Gender. Now, he's already co-authored the Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, which was hilarious if you did not read it. He actually served our country in the Marines.
And, well, thank you for your service,
and
sir.
He was trying to go to a secluded cabin and retire, but Kyle Mann would not have it and brought him to the Babylon Bee team. And Joel Berry joins us now. Joel, welcome to Rick and Bubba University.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Joel, well, you have no idea how much we love Babylon Bee anything. Rick loves it. I love it. We laugh about it. We come in. Man. A lot of parallel thinking there sometimes. But I tell you, you guys own us the way that you turn out the comedy and satire, which I am still shocked some people don't get,
right,
day after day, topic after topic.
Well, I think that's kind of been the secret to our success is we're really, you know, none of us are professional comedians here. I came from sales. Kyle Mann, our editor-in-chief, used to be in sales too. We have engineers and doctors and housewives writing for us. And we're really just normal people kind of saying what everyone else is thinking. And I think that's what's really gravitated people to what we do.
We've even imagined when we would finally arrive, even though we would be the butt of the joke, is when y'all finally do a Babylon Bee headline that features us. We thought to ourselves at that moment,
making fun of us. We'd be so honored.
And the one that we came up with, now Bubba and I have lost some weight and we worked on our weight, but most of our career we haven't. And I told him that I thought a Babylon Bee headline on us that would really be a great dig. Rick and Bubba speak of the six deadly sins and leave out gluttony.
Yeah.
Something on that. But anyway,
that's great, actually.
Yeah. We love what you guys do. And, you know, I think the biggest, we talked about it on the big show this week where we quote your headlines all the time. And also, I've tried to do what you've also encouraged us to do, read the articles. We a lot of times we just think your headlines are enough, but if you dive into the articles, you guys just keep on hitting, and you've become a guide to us, because if I see you guys doing satire and I don't get the joke, I realize, wait a minute, I've missed a story.
Yeah,
something's happened. And you actually make us go research the real story for the show after we've seen the headline, so we'll get the joke. But you've had to come up, you also had to establish not the Babylon Bee, because our world has become so bizarre that really satire is not a given. When people see it now, people honestly didn't know, and y'all started getting in trouble because you were doing satire and people thought that the headlines were real, and you were accused of misinformation and all that, and you were like, y'all realize we're a comedy writers, right? And so now you have not the Babylon Bee, but you can't tell the difference in the headlines sometimes.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite writers, G.K. Chesterton, he said this 100 years ago. He said, satire has diminished in this current age because reality has become too absurd to be satirized. And that was 100 years ago. Here we are in, 2023. And it really is hard to tell sometimes. We have a lot of people mistaking our satirical headlines for real headlines. And we started Not the Bee just to kind of lean into this idea that reality is insane right now. Sometimes we can't make up stuff that's funnier than what you see in the news on a daily basis. So we just kind of embraced it and formed a real news site as well.
Joel, tell us a little bit I want to know, like you were talking about people that write for you. How big a staff do you guys have? Walk us through how this all comes to fruition each day.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. It's myself, it's Kyle Mann, the editor in chief, and we have a couple assistant editors, and beyond that, just a bunch of regular people around the country that we kind of crowdsource that started out as Bee fans. Most of these people have regular full-time jobs, And we have a common kind of a chat room where we're throwing headline pitches back and forth all day. And that's how most of it gets done. I mean, most of us, including myself, started as Bee fans. I started by submitting headlines to the Babylon Bee every day. I did it for months and months and months, and they started getting picked up, and that kind of snowballed into a full-time career for me. But kind of what's going on is every morning I'm getting up, I'm looking, opening up all the news sites, opening up all the social media sites, getting a sense for what the news cycle is going to do that day. What are the big stories? What do we need to hit on? And then beyond that, we're just riffing and we're pitching hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ideas. You know, for every headline that you see published, you know, there are hundreds that never see the light of day. And it's a really fun process. I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to this. I remember a time in my life when I would open up the news in the morning and just be distraught because there's so many terrible things happening in the world, so much to worry about. You worry about the future of your kids. What kind of world are your kids going to grow up into? You know, a lot of things to wring your hands over. And when you switch your mindset to this thing of, okay, what is funny about the news? It's really fun. It's really healing. You know, I think it's better for your spirit. And it kind of makes you a happier warrior. I think we need more happy warriors in today's age.
Yeah. And we've made a living doing this for, you know, 30 years. In January will be our 30th birthday, because you're right. You know, we had a friend that has now gone on to eternity, Mickey Dean, the comedian, and he said it so true, and he was one of these kind of comedians, and it's similar to what we do and what you guys do. He said, "I don't really write comedy, I just report it." Because
that's great.
The world has given us all that we can stand, and I think that what you guys, you know, we talk about it a lot on the program, but also you use humor to point to the absurdity and the inconsistencies and the hypocrisy of so many things. And comedy has always been a brilliant tool to do that. And you guys definitely have that down. And it started out on one of Bubba and one of our favorite topics, church humor.
Yeah.
And I remember when you guys started cranking out the denominational humor, that a guy that was a friend of mine that is in vocational ministry, and it may have been before you joined the team, but he looked into the headlines and he looked at me and he said, "Whoever's writing this stuff,
they know it.
They have truly worked in the church. These people have worked in the church. They but that's kind of how it started, wasn't it? It was denominational church humor."
Yeah, and that was my experience as well. I remember my first exposure to a Babylon Bee headline. You know, I started working for the Bee back in 2019, but the Bee was started in 2016. It seems like it's been around a lot longer than that. Yeah. But my first headline, I remember I was just scrolling through Facebook, I think, and I saw this headline that was "Holy Spirit unable to move through congregation after the fog machine breaks." And that's just such a classic. And you get it immediately and you think, who are these people writing this? Because for one, it's really funny.
Right.
And it's clearly written by somebody from this world, from this weird kind of Christian evangelical world that I'm so familiar with. And that's something people had never seen before. You know, really funny writers who could make fun of Christians in a good-natured and loving way. Because, you know, when you see Christians being made fun of most of the time in the culture, it's coming from people who don't understand Christianity or hate Christianity. Right. And this was something new and different. And it was kind of an overnight success. I think within a few weeks of the Babylon Bee going online, the stories were already going viral. Most of it was church humor. And then, as we all remember, in 2016, Trump was elected, and
there you go.
There was kind of a huge, big conversation in the evangelical world of, you know, can evangelicals support Trump? You know, should they not? There were a lot of arguments over that. And the other thing that happened was a lot of comedians at that time lost their sense of humor. I mean, the late night shows,
so true.
A lot of big time comedians, they got so angry over the politics that they could not tell a funny joke anymore. And so that left the field wide open for us. You know, we made fun of Trump. We made fun of Democrats. We made fun of Republicans, just the whole system. And I think a lot of the cultural sacred cows, these philosophies, these ideas that are kind of spreading through our culture, that need to be mocked because they're damaging and they're lies. And so, I think we were kind of the first to the game, but what's encouraging to me is I feel like I see more comedians doing that now. And that's, I hope that continues to grow.
Yeah, we agree. So I just want to be sure I'm getting this right. I think you just said that Bubba and I can send in ideas for headlines.
How do we do that? Because I'm telling you,
we're ready. We're ready.
If you subscribe to the Bee, you know, we're completely subscriber supported now. We used to have ads, you know, social media has suppressed us so much to where it's hard to make money online and we're subscriber supported. But if you subscribe to us, you can submit up to 4 headlines a day. And that's actually how I started. I started as a subscriber submitting headlines. Sometimes to my friends, I'll give my email address and they can send me a few extra headlines if they have it.
Bubba's saying that today, maybe.
I'm trying to log on right now.
When you were telling me.
Call me after.
Well, when you just said that we can send in headlines, and of course, we're going to pretend like we're best friends after today's over. And I know Speedy warned you about that.
I hope he warned you properly.
And then you told me that your church was doing the Man Church curriculum. And I thought this day can't get any better. I mean,
Rick, I saw a glow come off of you.
I couldn't believe so Joel with the Babylon Bee, his church is going through one of our curriculum. I mean, come on. I mean, it didn't get any better.
It's a match made in heaven. And I'm loving it so far. I'm not a man yet. We just finished the first section, so okay. I'm hoping that I'll be a man by the end.
Which one are y'all doing? Are y'all doing the Pursuit? Is that the first one?
The Pursuit.
Yeah, that's the first one. Yep. We have a fifth one coming out in 2024. But I won't chase that rabbit because I could talk about that the rest of the day. But you guys have a lot of fun with men's ministry and your satire, which I think is hilarious.
It's funny. It's just funny, y'all. It doesn't mean you really believe it. Joel, that's the thing that gripes us.
Oh, yeah.
People have just lost their ability to laugh.
Oh, no.
There's funny things that go on, even if it's in your camp.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. we both grew up Southern Baptist, so, you know, there's a lot of humor there.
So much.
You know,
we
have wore out the, you know, can't drink, can't dance jokes, all that.
So
I mean, it's
good.
Funny stuff. But in politics, too, I mean, whether you love Trump or don't like him, you got to admit he's funny.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many great things. And if you have a joke, it doesn't mean you dislike him. It just means it's funny. That's all.
Yeah.
I think the reason that Christians were the butt of the joke in culture for so long was because we took ourselves so serious and you know, we couldn't abide a joke. And I think what we're seeing now is there's kind of been this switch that's taken place where we see a lot more of that behavior, I think, on the progressive left, where they can't take a joke. They're very serious. They're very self-righteous. And that's when you become ripe for humor is when you take yourself too seriously. That's going to be the Babylon Bee's target. Automatically.
Oh, yeah. Let me give you a headline and you can have this one. Okay. Talking about, cause there's a lot of humor in churches' attempts to reach and disciple men. Men leave men's conference convinced that Jesus played football.
There's always a football illustration. All the time.
All right, we'll come back. We're going to talk about.
I'm imagining a parable. Jesus probably would have told a parable about football.
That's true. But he probably wouldn't have tried to force scripture down on football stories. But we'll come back. Joel Berry with the Babylon Bee will talk about their latest project, and you're going to love this one. It is at the forefront of our culture right now when Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, continues. Rick and Bubba.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba, Rick
and Bubba. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Joel Berry, managing editor of the Babylon Bee, is our guest today.
We kind of figure it's the greatest job in the world outside of ours.
I think it's hard. I thought we had the greatest job. I think Joel may. All right. So we never thought that we would be living in a time that something as simple and straightforward as gender would become something that people can't quite grasp. And the simplicity of gender and you know, and
what we call it the peep test. I mean, you right. peep, you either do or you don't, and that's kind of where it ends with us.
Right. And on the left or the right, it seems that it's never enough. Even when the left says follow the science, then they'll say, except when it comes to gender. And even when people who don't even share our view, a biblical worldview, say, look, you don't have to believe in God. If you're just believing science, biologically, there's two genders. And people are walking out of conference rooms mm-hmm. because a person who's not even a follower of Christ, that is just a scientist, is saying, no, the science says this. You guys have decided that we are all so confused that we need the Babylon Bee guide to gender. So tell us about this wonderful project.
Yeah, so we have this guidebook series. A couple of years ago, we wrote the Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness. Last year, we wrote the Babylon Bee Guide to Democracy. And this year, it was the Babylon Bee Guide to Gender. And it felt very natural for us. I think these are things that we're already joking about all the time anyway. It's very much kind of central in the conversation in the culture right now. So it seemed very relevant. It's fun to write a book because, you know, the content on our website, our headlines and our articles, are a very specific format. We're very restrained in kind of the voice and the things that we do and say on the site. Whereas the book, we're just kind of, we get to unleash our writers and we get to be as immature as we want to. And that's what I always say is you'll see our writers at their absolute most immature in this book. And we really gave gender ideology kind of the full Babylon Bee treatment, you know, giving it as much respect it deserves, which is none. You know, we start the first two chapters. We talk about men and women. Those are chapters 1 and 2. And then after that, we kind of dive off the diving board into the absolute insanity that is gender theory. And I don't know if it will give any clarity to the situation. I think it's more making fun of the lack of clarity around it. It's just complete anarchy in this book.
Well, and that's doesn't it feel that way though on the topic? I mean, and what I was wondering, you guys have been in the crosshairs like we have of every mob that there could possibly be. But when you get to this, particular mob, I will tell you, and you guys probably already know it, and I don't know if you're getting anything on this yet, if they've discovered what you're doing, but it can be one of the most angry mobs of all mobs. Mm-hmm. And just that's kind of been my experience, our experience. Are y'all getting some pushback already?
Yeah, we do. It's kind of almost in the background noise for us. We just get so much of it. Right. You know, because it is like a religion. It's almost a cult, and the people who are devoted to it are extremely devoted to it, as if their lives depend on it. And a lot of them are, you know, the there's a sad side to it too, because a lot of the adherents to this ideology are extremely broken people, have a lot of damage and hurt in their own lives. And so what you see in a lot of these mobs is a lot of mental illness and a lot of lashing out, as a result of this lie that they've swallowed. And we talk about it kind of being anarchy and insanity, because that's what happens when you unmoor yourself from the truth. I mean, it goes back to the classic showdown between the creator and Lucifer back in Genesis. You know, when Lucifer said, "I will be like the Most High. I'm not going to let my creator define who I am. I'm going to define who I am."
Right.
That's kind of been the central struggle in humanity ever since, and it's taken different forms. But in today's culture, gender theory, that's kind of the latest form of this age-old struggle, this idea that, you know, I am not going to allow my creator to define who I am. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to define myself. And it leads to all kinds of just absolute insanity.
Yeah, there's a sense, and we're seeing this with some of these woke pastors, which y'all have a blast with as well, and have been very, very, very willing to point out the hypocrisy and the inconsistency of their, a lot of them. I mean, I don't think it's over the top to call them heretics and apostates, But, and you guys point that out, but it's almost like there's certain people out there that think that God, the beginning and the end, needs a PR agent, and they're going to be the ones to do it. And they're going to go out and say, look, God needs a public relations agent, and I'm going to tell you, God, you got to change this. You got to change how you do that. And I'm going to present you in a way that's a little more palatable. You probably need me. And when you said this, and you guys have said it, when truth becomes offensive, now we really have a problem now. And this particular topic, you know, gender dysphoria has been around.
It's in the textbooks, in
a very small percentage of people, and we should have compassion for those people. But what we're having now is something as serious as gender dysphoria has become trendy. It's become mod, like we're talking about a new haircut or a new
fashion statement.
Yeah, a new fashion statement or the latest tattoo. And they don't understand the seriousness of this. And I think this book can maybe sometimes help for people to go, what in the world am I doing? What am I thinking? Because
we're told to follow the science on everything else.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more basic than chromosome XXXY.
Right.
And I don't know how we have come to, we're going to decide what that is now.
Whatever happened to
compete in sports even takes it to a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah. Now you really lost your way now. How does whatever happened to, and I thought the left of our world always loved this. Whatever happened to, hey, you just be, you're great. You're great just like you are. I mean, I know that can lead to thinking you don't need redemption and you don't need to repent of anything. I know that can be negative, but it's almost like the same people that kept telling everybody just to be who you are have now decided we don't know who you are. Maybe you can figure out something, be something different than who you are.
Yeah. And the idea too, that it relies on very like regressive gender stereotypes too. You know, like if you're a boy and you don't like the color blue, then maybe you're a girl, you know, and then you have to physically alter your body to conform to these gender stereotypes. It's this weird, bizarre inversion of what kind of the left has always been about in the past. Like you said, you know, you do you and be who you are and be confident in who you are and all that stuff. It's this weird inversion of the lie. And in the book, you know, the funny thing about it all is that we didn't have to exaggerate any of this very much for it to read like satire. I mean, if you go through the book, a lot of what you'll see is just a straight retelling of this ideology, and it comes across as a joke. Like you said, we're not joking about the news. We're just reporting the jokes. We're not writing the jokes. We're reporting the jokes.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. We'll finish our conversation. Like. We got more to come, and we'll tell you more about the book, and then we'll talk a broader about the state of things and the Babylon Bee's role in it with Joel Berry. When Rick and Bubba University, the podcast continues. Bubba, you know, breaking a bad habit is always a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
I'm not looking at you. I might have been looking at Joel. But when someone says, I tell you what you need to do, just stop what you're doing. You need to quit cold turkey. Well, you know, sometimes that works, but a lot of times it doesn't. And instead of, you know, taking the habit that might be bad, maybe you just find a way for that habit to not be bad. And Fume is here ready to help you with that. It's not some weird mind, you know, whatever, or something that your crazy neighbor says you just have to do. When we're talking about Fume, they've looked at the problem a little different. And what they're saying is Fume is innovative. It's already been award nominated. It's a device that instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, it's flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all natural, delicious flavors. And if you're like me, somebody that likes to fidget, you know, it's a great fidget toy as well. It's a habit you're free to enjoy, and it makes replacing the bad habit a little more easy. The taste is wonderful. much more flavorful than you might even imagine. It's well weighted. It's perfectly balanced. It's a lot of fun to fidget with. Like I said, it's made of real wood. You know, you feel kind of cool using it. So stopping is something we all put off because it's difficult. It's hard. But switching to Fume is easy. It's enjoyable and even fun. So Fume has served over 100,000 customers, has thousands of success stories, and there's no reason why the next one can't be you. So here's what you need to do. Head to this, tryfume.com. That's T-R-Y-F-U-M. It's pronounced Fume, but it's spelled F-U-M. Tryfume.com. Use our code RICKBUBBA. Put our names together, and you'll save 10%, and you'll get the journey pack today. That's tryfume, and use .com, our code RICKBUBBA, for an additional 10% off your order. All right, so we're talking with Joel Berry. He's the managing editor at the Babylon Bee, and if you've listened to the big show during the week, you know we go on and on about our love of the Babylon Bee and the wonderful work they do. They continue their series from these books that they have written. They've done, you know, the Babylon Guide to Wokeness, to Democracy, and now it is the Babylon Guide to Gender. And I'm looking, Joel, at some of the topics. You say, what is a man? What is a woman? You told us those are the first two, but then you get into chapter three. How to pick your gender, and did you ever think that you would be writing this and someone go, well, that's so absurd, we can't even do comedy on this because nobody's going to get it. But as you said, you don't even have to exaggerate, really.
Yeah, you don't. We have something that we call the genderator, so you can plug in some information about yourself and you can determine what your gender is. Oh. And we also have a section where you can determine who what your orientation is, so you can find out who you're sexually attracted to. And we outlined 437 genders in this book. The funny thing is, I mean, we wrote this book at the beginning of the year. It's already outdated. There's many more than 437, so I think we're going to need an addendum to tack on to the end.
437, and that's not even enough, and no one. So really, tell me if you believe
that's
this.
A lot of boxes to put on a form to have you to check.
So Joel, we'll see if you're with us on this. There's no doubt this dominates the headlines. There's no doubt it is a trendy thing, and there are definitely, unfortunately, adults and children and young people that think that it is now mod to be gender confused or to be gender fluid. It's actually like, it's cool. And I had somebody say to me one time, where do you come across that? Why would any, you know, that joke, no one would choose this, whatever. I said, no, wait a minute. I've been an awkward kid before. Haven't we all been awkward kids? Yes, my goodness, Joel was awkward.
At some point.
I was a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, he went to the Marines. I mean, you know, and he was thinking to himself, thank you for your service to our country, by the way, on a serious note. But I remember being an awkward kid. What if you were not in the cool group? What if you didn't have a lot of friends? And suddenly you find out that these celebrities and entertainers that you think are just the best, they're willing to not even go play a concert in a city if they won't let you go to whatever bathroom you want to. And they look around and all these celebrities and all these important people, they seem to really give a lot of attention to people that are gender confused. And you think to yourself, wait a minute, this may actually make me cool. To me, that's not a far-fetched narrative. That makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yeah, well, you know, when I grew up in high school, like in the late 2000s or the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, we had goth kids. You know, before that, you had grunge kids. You know, you had those artistic, you know, weird kids that didn't quite fit in with the cool crowd. You know, and I related to a lot of those kids, and now it seems you have kind of like, instead you have like the queer kids, and I remember those years of being you know, insecure and questioning who I was, and I can imagine how susceptible a lot of these kids are. I mean, because it really you know, it has taken personality type and sexualized it in a weird way.
Right.
You know, evangelicals kind of got caught up in this too a little bit with the Enneagram. You know, like everyone had to have their Enneagram score because it's fun to kind of figure out who you are. You know, it helps to define who you are and helps you understand yourself better. And you kind of see a little bit of the same thing happening with this gender ideology idea with young kids. I mean, you have absurd things like, you know, cake gender. You know, I'm a cake gender because I'm light and fun and sweet. You know, okay, well, that's a personality type. You know, that's not a sexuality. And so, you know, it's it is absolutely a fad. But the terrible thing about it is it is attached to this kind of this medical industry is prescribing pharmaceuticals, that is making kids, like, you know, it's altering their physical bodies irreparably for life. You know, a lot of us remember our awkward, you know, teenager stage, and you grow out of it and you move on, and you're, you know, a lot of women grow up and they're tomboys. They grow out of it and move on. You can't grow out of a mastectomy, you know? And so that's the thing that is, I think, most frightening about the whole movement, is that there's this very powerful industry that's making billions off of this, off of preying on young kids.
Joel, let me ask you this. At what point, and I've not been able to identify it, maybe you can, where the educators in our country decided the way to break through to the young people was to bring in a drag queen for an hour.
Wow.
Is that not the most bizarre thing?
Can y'all imagine ever being in a meeting where that idea would even get off the ground?
Yeah.
It's odd. It just seems like it's something that happened to us. You know, like, who made this decision? You know, with the teachers, it was just kind of thrust upon us, and we're all supposed to accept it. And it happened so quick. I think that's what so many people are caught off guard over with this stuff, is it happens so quickly, and overnight you're supposed to pretend like this has always been normal.
And I think it isn't it the ultimate, we use this analogy, I know it's overused, but it's so true. Isn't this the ultimate we're living? The emperor has no clothes. I mean, it's
or like, he does, and he's dressed as a woman.
Right. But we, like you said, I think there's a large number of people like us that say, never. You're never bringing me over. And then there's the people that say, I actually think this is great. But then the larger number to me are the people that say the right thing and then go off in private and go, this is absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, they're afraid of the mob. They don't want to look like they're out of step. And they will not say the emperor has no clothes on.
Yeah. Well, you know, I encounter that just meeting Babylon Bee fans. I encounter it a lot with pastors. I mean, you know, I don't want to shame pastors on here or anything, but I am always shocked by how many pastors secretly share Babylon Bee headlines with each other and laugh at Babylon Bee headlines, but they will never, ever make a public stand on this stuff in their churches or before their congregations.
Oh, they get run out of town.
Exactly.
They probably can't lock you. They'll get in trouble.
Right.
There's a lot of fear out there, I think, in terms of, you know, what will happen if I make this public stand. What will happen to my church? What will happen to my attendance? So I think that's the most troubling thing, is the people who know the truth and are afraid to speak up. And that's our hope at the Babylon Bee is that, in addition to being entertaining, is that I think laughter also brings courage as well. And the more we're laughing at this stuff and realizing how ridiculous it is, I think the more people will have the courage to stand up and laugh too.
Well, you mentioned the pastors and people that are in vocational ministry. I have a group text that includes more than one worship leader, and I fire off y'all's worship leader humor, and they will just simply send back, ouch. I mean, because they know these stereotypes, because like Bubba and I've said on the show, stereotypes are not funny unless they have some truth in them. And, you know, and so
you got to have a little in there.
Yeah. There's, you know, we're as comedians and comic people, we embellish on a stereotype, but it's not funny if it doesn't have some truth in it.
That's right. It's got to have a seed of truth. And I was a worship leader. My editor in chief, Kyle Mann, he was a bass player.
I knew it.
In a worship band.
I
so.
Knew it.
All our bass player jokes. He's the butt of those.
Well, all right. So makes sense.
Yeah, the bass players have more time because they're not hitting as many chords.
When he says bass player just discovered his amp has been unplugged for 23 years.
That's gone.
That's it. Yeah.
That came from Kyle Mann, didn't it?
Absolutely, it did. Yeah. Well, and you're right. You know, a lot of these jokes are funny because they're true. And that's the power of what we do, is that, you know, we're putting these things out there. We're speaking to the culture in a unique way. And when you laugh at a joke, even if you don't agree with the central point the joke is making, I think you've made progress there, that you've kind of subconsciously and involuntarily acknowledged a truth. And some of my most rewarding moments is when we get mail from leftists or even from atheists who will admit to us that they begrudgingly conceded a point that we made because it was delivered in such a witty way.
Okay.
And so that's the kind of the power that of what we're doing is I think we're helping to let people, you know, people's guards are down when they're laughing. And those who might not read a long book or a 12-page think piece on a subject might have their minds changed by a joke.
He was looking at us when he said that.
I know.
We'll come back. We'll finish our conversation with Joel Berry, managing editor of the Babylon Bee. And also, you got to go out and get the Babylon Bee Guide to Gender. You will love it. When the Rick and Bubba podcast continues right after this.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba University, Joel Berry is our guest. Joel, you mentioned you get emails sometimes from people that can be the butt of the jokes, and I know we would never share any of those people. We are acquaintances with Chris Tomlin. And y'all have had some fun with Chris Tomlin. And
we love those.
Yeah, when y'all had the headline that Chris Tomlin has actually broken the copy and paste button with his latest hymn. Listen, do you have any of those that come back and say, ha-ha, you know, that was funny? Because I mean, just like you said, y'all have made fun of sometimes stuff that I actually agree with, or it might be my point of view. It's exaggerated, but I can still laugh at it and go, you know what? I can't ignore that right there is funny.
Yeah. My favorite old Chris Tomlin joke was where we did a fake op-ed by Chris Tomlin, and it was entitled, "I'm Chris Tomlin. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am." we did one making fun of the Gettys. Because always have these really like, you know, theologically rich songs that have very complicated words in them.
Oh yeah,
and so we had this headline that was like, you know, Keith and Kristen Getty struggling to come up with a word that rhymes with substitutionary atonement, and saw that headline, and they took up the challenge, and they wrote a song with a headline
a
word that rhymes with substitutionary atonement. They played it for us, so we get a little bit of that sometimes.
So Joel, with all the headlines, all the stories over the years, do you have one or two that you remember that you went, wow, that may be the gold of all of them?
Well, my personal favorite is one of my early headlines when I first started with the Bee. And this was back when kind of like the BLM riots were happening across the nation in 2020. And a lot of these NFL and NBA teams were kind of, they were painting, you know, slogans on in their fields and wearing these jerseys. And I wrote a headline. This was after Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court justice, passed away. And the headline was LeBron James and his team wear frilly lace collars to commemorate Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And the funny thing about that to me was that it was close enough to what could actually happen in truth.
You didn't know for sure.
Yeah, it went viral on the left. I mean, it was shared in Paris fashion magazines and, you know, Cosmopolitan and a lot of leftist politicians and were like sharing it, saying like, this is the most inspiring thing I've seen all day. You know, like, this is wonderful. That just adds to the humor, is when you're so precisely over the target that it can trick people. Not that we're trying to do that all the time, trick people, but that was funny.
I know the answer to this, because it's the reason why you do the headlines. I would not think that you get a lot of, hey, that sure was funny, from hyper-Calvinist, because every headline about them speaks to how you know, how they're not very jovial and they're not willing, and they can be mean spirited. Like, I love John, yeah. I love John MacArthur, but I don't think he's ever sent y'all, hey, I enjoyed the headline today. That sure was fun.
Yeah, we the Calvinists. That's I think that's the funniest thing about them is how humorless that. One of my favorite old headlines is, "I am a depraved wretch," says Calvinist smugly.
I remember that one. That was you. And then the one where Calvinist walks out from behind a curtain to tell everybody they're wrong to correct them, something like that. It was pretty funny.
Or Calvinist dog reminds everyone that there is no such thing as a good boy.
That's right. No, that was another classic.
And a lot of us at the B are Calvinists, including Kyle Mann. He's very Calvinist.
Well, if you can't laugh at yourself,
a lot of this is really just making fun of ourselves. We're making fun of ourselves.
Well, Bub and I, like you said, we make fun of all the, you know, the Baptist stereotypes. I think they're hilarious. I mean, because you know, there's some truth to them. I mean, there really are. And so that doesn't surprise me because it goes back to the Calvinist jokes are so good.
Yeah.
They had to be written by Calvinists.
Yeah, well, it's you have to laugh at yourself. You have to laugh at yourself, and I think Christians of all people, you know, when you think about who we are in comparison to a holy God, and you think about just the comedy. I think there's so much comedy in this idea of human beings trying to please God and always messing it up. Human beings trying to, you know, create this community, this church community around worshiping a holy creator and just flubbing it up in so many funny ways. There's so much comedy in being a Christian. There's every reason to laugh because God invented laughter, and we have an imperishable hope. Every reason to be hopeful. Every reason to be having fun. In this world, and so Christians most of all, I think, should be the ones laughing.
We should,
yeah.
We should. And Bubba, we got the most hope. We ought to have the most laughter.
Well, and Bubba, you made this point years ago. What people who think we're always, you know, sanctimonious or whatever, I know we can do that, but do you realize what we really believe? If you're truly talking to a Christian, a follower of Christ, that's a person that has already declared that unless God decides to be gracious and merciful,
I'm in trouble.
We have zero hope.
Yep.
And that's right. And so we already admit we're flawed. I was talking to my son. We're having a wedding this weekend, and I'm honored to get a chance to officiate that. And he's sitting down with me yesterday, and I said, now, look, you know that this perfect wedding that your fiance and your mother are dreaming of is not going to happen. And he said, I know. And I said, and you know why it's not going to happen? And you know what he said? Yeah, because it's going to be a wedding marrying flawed people that's actually going to be officiated and designed by other flawed people.
Yep,
and I said, yeah, so it's not going to be perfect, but we'll get as close as we can to it. So maybe drop the expectations with the ladies just a little bit. Well,
you might get a few Babylon Bee headlines out of it.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, everywhere you turn, and now you've released the Kraken telling us that we can send some in.
Joel, it's been a real pleasure to finally get to meet you,
and
we've been such fans of your work for so long. And we hope you'll be on with us again. This is fun.
Yeah, it really is.
I'd love to. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So the Babylon Bee Guide to Gender, I know, can I get that just through the normal Babylon Bee channels?
Yeah, you can order it from our website. If you subscribe to the Babylon Bee and support us, you get a free copy of the book. So I recommend that.
Great.
Or you can get it on Amazon. If you order it on Amazon, you help us get on a bestseller list potentially. So that's always a good option as well.
Right. And again, it really does use comedy to talk about a very, very serious topic. And I think it is being used, and it can be used to help people too. I mean... Like you said, and Bubba, you've said it, God apparently gave us a sense of humor, and which means he must have one or we wouldn't have it. And certainly it can be used in the wrong way, but also it can be used in the right way. And I hope it – because you guys – I know that you're not trying to be taking serious, but you use comedy to also defend the God that redeemed us.
We love it.
And I love that. You're uncompromising about who he says he is. Though a bunch of flawed people sometimes don't seem to quite get it right. So thank you for taking time to be with us. Thank you for what you guys are doing. You got two big fans here and millions of fans all over the country as well of what you guys are doing.
So and stand by for headlines.
Stand by for headlines.
Coming, send them in.
Coming from Rick and Bubba. And give me your feedback on the Man Church curriculum. I would appreciate it, and all the jokes you can come up with that surround it. Because men's ministry is like it is like shooting fish in a barrel when it comes to comedy. So
that's right.
Thanks a lot, brother. We appreciate you. And thanks to each and every one of you for joining us on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast.